Hello everyone, and welcome to the organization updates from the GNU Radio project. So this is a different talk from the tech updates where, you know, we focus on releases and what's going on in the code base. This is a talk where we talk about the organization itself. And as such, I think it is a talk that fits well into FOSDEM, even if it's not specifically radio related, because I personally always find it fascinating to see how open source organizations organize. And we want to tell you more about how we are doing it. All right, it says the subtitle here is the GNU Radio Organization Beyond 2020, and it's already 2021. So what happened in 2020? Some of you might actually recognize this talk because I gave a similar one at GNU Radio Conference 2020. And at that conference, we announced that we were going to be making some changes. And that was in September. Since then, we have now actually done all those changes. So this is first of all an update. Then for those who haven't seen the GRCon 2020 talk yet, or, you know, don't want to, this might be the first time they hear about these changes. There is a couple of big things that we want to announce here, and I'm just going to start right now. So the first big change is that the SETI Institute and GNU Radio have joined forces. We have, I would like to say merged into a big organization. Now, the GNU Radio organization still exists as such. If you're just within the GNU Radio organization, this doesn't actually mean a whole lot of changes for you. But in partnering up with the SETI Institute, we think we've sort of found a partner that shares a lot of, you know, common values with us and has many shared interests. So the SETI Institute, just to briefly recap, they're the guys who are trying to find ET, mostly famous for their usage of radio astronomy to achieve that goal. But they do all sorts of stuff. And there's this, you know, this all sorts of stuff in the Venn diagram is where we have a lot of interest. Now, that it's not the primary interest of GNU Radio to find ET, which is the SETI Institute's primary interest. Versus the SETI Institute's primary interest is also not, you know, GPL code, but like there's so many things in there that we both care about, like educating students and, you know, younger engineers. We care about engineering in general. Like we like the fact that people start building their own radio kits, etc. So there's so many things that we both deeply, deeply care about. So the SETI Institute is a fantastic partner for the GNU Radio project, and we're so, so happy to, you know, to become a part of the greater SETI Institute. The SETI Institute can do things for the GNU Radio project, such as help us with, you know, back office things. They know a lot about grants, you know, writing grant proposals, receiving grants. Also, they're an entity which can handle, you know, like the logistics of funding and, you know, paying the funds, receiving the funds, etc. So we spoke about this at great lengths at GRCon 2020. So I don't want to go into too much detail here. This is a big deal for us. And yeah, if you look at the GRCon 2020 presentations, you'll find much more information. But I do quickly want to talk about what this means about GNU Radio and the FSF, because I think there's probably people at FOSDEM who care about that. So the FSF was a great partner for the GNU Radio project as well. And in particular, I'd like to thank John Sullivan for the the amount of work he put towards us. And he always reached out to the GNU Radio project and asked if FSF could do more. So I don't want this to be construed as us, you know, breaking up with the FSF. But I think, you know, the total overlap of you know, values and goals was just greater with the SETI Institute, where we have many great relationships. So, you know, I just wanted to clear that up at this point. Okay, so SETI Institute and Radio teaming up is a big change, but we also had another big change. I'm going to spend much more time talking about that. So the organization was historically the same as in many other open source projects. So there was like the enthusiastic founder who also became a benevolent dictator. That was Eric. And then a bunch of people joined him. And then Eric at some point said, yeah, I need someone else to run the project. And he nominated Tom. And then Tom nominated Ben. And every new leader, you know, put some new emphases onto what the project should be achieving. Of course, everyone cared about the quality of the code. But there were so many other things, like establishing a conference. growing the community, expanding the code base outside of the core code. Like, there's so many things needed to be organized. And all of these leaders did a great job in evolving the project. And this is what the structure looked like when Ben was president, who was the last benevolent dictator. So the president was just nominated, and then, you know, by fiat, he was the boss of the project. So that was Ben. And then Ben, his particular choice or approach to getting other people involved was to nominate what he called officers, or we all refer to ourselves as officers. And it says here a bit pejoratively, this was a random bunch of people, and it's kind of true. Like, there was no, you know, rule or anything to how these were picked. So Ben just said, okay, you do that, you do that. Do you want to help with this? Okay, sure, you're an officer now. And this was also, you know, a highly effective approach. But then there's like all these other people, and there was like an unclear relationship between them. Like the greater community and the officers and the president, it was like nothing was really sort of written down or clarified. And one sec. So yeah, to recap, we had Ben as president because. Then we had a bunch of officers, and then because Ben said, so that's how that worked. And then, so if you sort of extrapolate that into the future, the next president would be whoever is nominated by Ben. And Ben was, I say his name a lot here because he was very instrumental in making changes here. One of the problems that came with that was all the officers who ran all these sort of had these sub responsibilities within the project was also nominated. And it was like not quite clear or transparent how that process worked. And, you know, what if the president had just left and said, okay, well, figure out what to do next. Probably what would have happened is that one of these people would have said, okay, I don't know, I'll just take over for now and then establish a new organization. But, you know, that's very unsatisfying. So any of these like random changes were not really captured. Like, it was very hard to understand like how, you know, how changes would occur. They just happened. And that's all stuff that we didn't want. Also, code of conduct violations, to be honest, something we still haven't fully figured out yet, wasn't even sort of addressed in this greater scheme. So I think I've already given a lot of reasons why we should change our organizational structure. And I think many other open source projects also reach this point. So we were very lucky with the project leaders that we've had, which made our organization pretty effective as well. There's also a lot of trust in the individual officers, and that's not something we want to remove. What we do want to add, though, is like some kind of sustainability. So some kind of plan that says, okay, like, here's how changes to the organization will happen in the future. You know, the worst case scenario where like people just leave should be resolvable in a way that was previously agreed to. And now that we're part of the SETI Institute, this is even more important because we can't just sort of have people willy-nilly deciding stuff without like a proper, yeah, legitimacy to that. Okay. Transparency is sort of my pet peeve here. Like, I think that was actually the worst part about the old system. So there was a lot of discussion about how can I become an officer or something like that. And sometimes people wouldn't get a response to that, which sort of gave us a bit of a, I don't know if a clandestine is the right word, but an air of, I don't know, secrecy or something like that, which is something we never wanted. It just sort of came out of the fact that sometimes people were busy and nothing was written down. Someone might not have wanted to think about how to explain the structure, et cetera, et cetera. So that was all a big problem. So we needed a new structure. And the new structure revolves around one central body, and that is the General Assembly. This is the most important body of the new organizational structure. If you're a member of the General Assembly, you're de facto also part of the leadership of GNU Radio. And being in the General Assembly means that you also represent the project in a way. So you know, things that you say matter if you do that in a public context. We've decided to make the General Assembly the place where sort of the big important strategy decisions are made, and they are done by usually done by vote. Not always necessary, but like very often we say, okay, like how about we choose this to be our strategy, and then there's a vote happening on that. One little caveat here: only natural persons may be a member of the GA. I've heard some people have never not heard this term before. It's a legal term referring to the fact that a company or another organization may not be a member, but a company or another organization might send people who are natural persons to become a member. And a natural person is anyone, you know, with a passport, like myself. So this sort of is, you know, it just tries to avoid the ability to do some kind of takeover of the project by a bigger organization. Okay, so this is General Assembly, very important. How do you get into the General Assembly? Now, when we created the project, we had to bootstrap the new organization. So what we did was we just turned everyone who was previously an officer into a member of the General Assembly. That way, we also had some continuity. But that's not how is this going to go forward. In going forward, and this has already happened, the General Assembly can increase their own ranks by vote. There's usually some kind of you know, discussions for that. But the important step is at some point someone says, I would like to call for a vote to add person X to the General Assembly, and then the General Assembly decides. It's also possible to remove people from the General Assembly. We have clauses for that. If they do not respect the code of conduct or the articles of association, I'll talk about that later. But that's not, you know, something we anticipate happening. Hopefully at all, but in any case, it probably won't happen a lot. But I think more importantly is the option for people to step down from the General Assembly, because we do expect some sort of commitment from people in this group. So if someone's, you know, hasn't had the time to put any time towards the project for a while, they might say, okay, yeah, I'm just going to step down from here. And that's fine, because the greater community is still probably the most important part of the GNU Radio project, and you know, that's where probably a lot of the, or even most of the code development happens, especially in out of tree modules. And that's also where your new members for the General Assembly come from. But not everyone has to become a General Assembly member. That's not required to be in the General Assembly to do really anything. That's just the voting rights come with being a member of that group. Now, the board is sort of the actual sort of day-to-day tactical leadership of the project, and they become elected from the General Assembly. And we elected a board in our prime, like, you know, our first, in our inaugural General Assembly meeting, and it consists of Mark Lichtman, Derek Kazell, and myself. Mark and Derek are listed as co-presenters, and I'm sort of presenting this, you know, as a proxy of the board. Out of those three people, we elected Derek to become the president. We decided a president would be a useful role to have, just because it's nice to name one single person to be like the point of contact for various things. But we haven't really sort of divvied up like the specific roles within the board. Now, the board has additional authorities. And also responsibilities than the people from the General Assembly do. Most importantly, the financial authority, so the ability to spend money and also make sure that the money is spent responsibly. The board is elected for 2 years, but we made an exception for the very first election because we wanted, or rather, we knew that the board was going to be charged with like finalizing the shape of this organization. So we wanted to make sure there was, you know, people weren't locked into a board that might have created like an insufficient organization, and most importantly, the board itself wouldn't know exactly where the organization would stand after 1 year. So around the time of GRCon 2021, approximately, we haven't set the date yet, there will be another General Assembly meeting where a new board will be elected, and of course, it may consist of the same members that they're on the board right now. All right. Now we have the General Assembly, we have the board, but what about things like the branch maintainers, or you know, Volk maintainers, etc., the documentation lead, the guy who runs the infrastructure? Like, these are extremely, extremely important roles. And we even had a bit of a debate when we created the General Assembly if the roles that were sort of organically grown in the past still apply. We resolved that quite simply by voting on that and saying, yes, they do still apply. And now we have people who've been sort of mandated by the General Assembly with the authority to, for example, run the infrastructure, be the maintainer of GNU Radio, like the code base, maintain the wiki and stuff like that. These roles are created, I don't want to say on the fly, but they are created dynamically as the need arises. And we nominate people and, you know, give them the authority from within the General Assembly to take over those roles. And it's also not necessary to be in the General Assembly to be tasked with a authority over something, but you would not be able to participate in the election for that. So there's the code of conduct is something that Tom and Ben were, you know, fierce proponents of. But it's still something that we haven't fully implemented. We do realize that this is important, but I would, you know, be exaggerating if I said that we have, like, you know, perfectly figured this out. So the idea is to create a code of conduct team that advises the board and the General Assembly and is independent from them. And the independence is important because it would be a problem if, say, a board member or a General Assembly member is be targeted with a code of conduct violation. And we do want to take care of code of conduct violations. But I think until we have a code of conduct team, we're not going to do it very effectively, since it sort of falls on the board and the General Assembly itself. But those are also the people who would be most likely to, not be, or would be most likely to violate the code of conduct, because, like, you know, we're the ones with the authority and the representational duties. We do intend to change the structure as we go along. We have some ideas. For example, I mentioned earlier that only natural persons can be member of the General Assembly. So, but I do think it would be nice and useful to have supporting members that are not natural persons, like companies or, I don't know, governmental organizations or whatever, be supporting members of the project. One thing we don't want to have, and that's very, very sure, is that we don't want to have a 501c6 start organization where those supporting members actually get their own voting rights. But, like, asking companies who use GNU Radio, like, what is it that you need? Like, how can we support you? And also, how can you support us? Like, maybe financially, I think would be a great win for the project. The relationship between the SETI Institute and the GNU Radio project is also organized through the new structure. So the board is the primary contact into the SETI Institute. So if they, you know, say, okay, we need to talk to someone about whatever, then it's always the board who would step up. And one person from the board is also the principal investigator of the GNU Radio project. And that is the person who sort of facilitates the execution of grant proposals and, well, the grant execution. Right now that's Derek, and who was actually the PI before we created the structure, and then we just maintained that. We haven't really decided on whether or not the PI needs to be a member of the board, but I think it's useful because it's just, because it reduces the fragmentation of points of contact. Yeah, and the SETI Institute, is, I mentioned earlier, is a fantastic partner for us because they know everything about grants, how to handle them. We obviously need to, have one person to work with the SETI Institute on that. But I don't want this picture to imply that only the board and the General Assembly can embark in endeavors to apply for grants. So if anyone from the community has ideas for that, they can talk to us about that. Okay. I mentioned earlier nothing was written down. That has changed. We have a new repository on GitHub, which publicly spells out all the decisions that we've made regarding our organization. So there's two bits of documentation in this repository. The first one is the Articles of the Association, and that's basically our constitution. Changing the Articles of Association comes with a high bar. You need to invite people to an assembly, and there's like a long, you need to give people enough time for that. Changes need to require super majority and all of those things. On top of the Articles of Association, we have bylaws. They define day-to-day things, like how exactly do we vote on things. Those can be changed more easily. Now, the General Assembly and the board, not every single thing that they say and do will have to be public. And, I was talking about transparency earlier. But one thing that we do want to achieve is higher transparency, and we do that by publishing all decisions that we make. So anything that we vote upon or additions to the General Assembly are all published also on this repository. And if we have a General Assembly meeting, the minutes will also be published on this repository. And any changes to bylaws and articles of association will obviously be on the repository, but you will also see them tracked in Git. So you can follow the changes and hopefully also the reasons why we made those changes. Yeah, so that sort of wraps it up. We've got a lot to do, but we've created our first pass at an organization with its own constitution and etc. and all those good things. So I think the stability of the organization has improved dramatically because of that. I mentioned already that we still have to work on the code of conduct thing. I'm saying thing not in a sort of derogative way. I'm just saying there's a lot that comes with that. And we have a code of conduct in textual form, but like exactly how we will enforce that is, remains the remain work remains to be done on this. Another thing that we need to work on is revenue stream. So the project needs money, like all other projects. It would be really, really nice to see this be the decade where we actually eventually are able to hire someone to do things on the GNU Radio project. We have no specific ways of achieving that right now, but it's something that we are working on. All right, that wraps it up. You have another slide. Yes, that wraps it up. And with this year, this board's term will also be wrapped up, and you will see more on that. But I think we're on the right way, and I'm very happy that we've done these changes. These are all sort of changes to GNU Radio that have nothing to do with code or digital signal processing, but they're still very, very interesting. And I hope to hear from you on what do you think about this, and also if you have any suggestions. Bye-bye.